your congregation. I think that is so cool. But I bring you greetings from the bishop and from all of your brothers and sisters around the Rocky Mountain Synod. So do you know how big our synod is? Do you have any? Like, synod is the territory. And so we are a large territory. So I bring you greetings from the people all the way north up in Gillette, Wyoming. There are brothers and sisters in the Rocky Mountain Synod, all the way south to El Paso, Texas, from Burlington, Colorado, Burlington, Colorado, and then over to Salt Lake City, Logan, Utah. That's our synod. And so they say good morning to you, and I bring your greetings on your behalf to all of them when I'm around throughout the synod. So whenever I'm in a congregation, I always like to give a bishop sighting. And so tonight, Bishop Gonia is going to be with your sisters and brothers at House for All Sinners and Saints. Because it's good to keep tabs on your bishop, right? So my name is Pastor Sarah Manning. I serve as assistant to the bishop for congregational life, and which means that I walk congregations through transition. I accompany congregations. Advent is a great time to begin a transition because Advent is a time of waiting, preparing, getting ready for the coming of God, and transitions are a time of waiting and preparing and getting ready for the next phase of who God is calling you to be. So just to give you a little, I want to tell you a story about my past so you kind of know who I am. In my 20s, a long time ago, I was a teacher. And those years of teaching was a great time of preparation. I had the great privilege of teaching at St. Leo Catholic School in urban Milwaukee. It was a combined third and fourth grade classroom. And I absolutely fell in love with my students. I can name, without even looking at the picture, I can name most of them still after all this time. They were complicated. They were complex. They were broken and blessed. And being with them in that particular school year was a tremendous time of learning for me. It was a time that prepared me for all the rest of the years of my life. So I want to tell you just briefly about a couple of the students. There was Lewis, who was very, very smart, but he was deep inside of himself. He didn't like connect out to the world as well as you could as his intelligence would say. He was the third of four children, being raised by a very pious single mom. I don't even know what the name of their denomination was, but they went to church for 4 hours on Sunday and 4 hours on Saturday. And then I think there was a weekday one as well. That mama was very, very pious. But he would bring his little sister over to my house not on weekends because he was at church, but during the summer and stuff, he'd bring his little sister over. And so I got to know him well. He recently friended me on Facebook. Oh my goodness, it rocked my world to know that this kid, who just celebrated his 40th birthday, remembered his third grade teacher. Oh, such a gift. There was Shahid, a small, inquisitive little kid. He had these bright, sparkly eyes. He too just friended me on Facebook. Rocked my world again. And he was this tiny, tiny, skinny little thing. And now when I see his pictures as a 40-year-old man, he's big. He was in the military. And he's, you know, a lot of muscles and stuff. But he taught me that my white, idealistic, suburban world was not normative. There was so much I didn't know about the whole rest of the world. He opened up my eyes in beautiful ways. And then there was Corey. Corey was slow moving. She sat in the back of the row, in the back of the classroom. And I would say to the kids, okay, take out your math books. And all of the kids would, you know, open up their desks and start rustling around getting their math books out. But not Corey. Corey would just sit there, kind of stretched out, lounging a little bit. And from her desk, and she would fold her arms. I'd say, Corey, come on, get out your math book. She'd just sit there. She'd stare at me for, 15, 20, 30 seconds. And then she'd say, I'd be fitting to, Ms. Manning. I'd be fitting to. I'd hold her gaze for a little bit longer. Then she'd slowly open up her desk, rifle around in it, pull out her math book, and then we were all okay. She taught me about the importance of fitting to time, preparing to engage, mentally and emotionally wrapping your head around the next activity, anticipating the next set of expectations. Advent and transitions are fitting to time, times of intentionally getting ready. Now, 30 years have meandered by since Corey and Shahid and Lewis and I shared a classroom. But when I remember Corey's slowing down, her fitting to time, that intentional way of being in the world, I smile. There is gift and wisdom in slowing life down, taking time to adjust and shift gears. Think through the next activity, that next right step. These days, my life bounces from one thing to the other, and I have very little fit into time. Actually, I even have to plan fit into time. I have to put it into my schedule because life is that busy for me. I have to plan to sit quietly, take deep breaths, ponder my life, consider the alignment of what I do with what my professed values are. Advent is a time of that kind of preparation, of looking forward toward what is to come. We gather this morning on this third Sunday in Advent, hearing about John the Baptist, the one who prepares the way of the Lord. We are 1 week away from the celebration of Christmas. Now, our society frantically pressures us to prepare commercially, home decorating and gift buying. And yet, there is so much more at stake, so much more potential preparing. Our texts today invite us into a different state of preparation. John the Baptist came as a witness to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. In order for us to continue witnessing to that light, we must prepare our hearts and minds for the coming of the Christ child, the Prince of Peace, the Savior of the world. Today, we hear the foretelling of the coming of the Messiah in the Isaiah text. He sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and release to prisoners. The kingdom of God has everything to do with proclamation of the gospel, healing hearts, hurts, healing hurt hearts, that would work, from old wounds, release to those who are held captive in any way, spiritually, emotionally, or physically. We prepare for the coming of the Messiah by creating space for the softening of our hearts, for making room for forgiveness, even in the midst of our most painful relationships. We prepare for the coming of the Messiah by facing our fears, by working on our defensive posturing with honesty and humor. As I was thinking about this sermon, two sort of popular culture things popped into my head. One, of course, is Star Wars, because the movie's out. But I'm not going to talk about that Star Wars because I haven't seen it yet. Our tickets are for December 26th. So I promise no spoiler alert here. But Star Wars, you know, you got to love Star Wars, right? So I was thinking about Yoda. Everybody has a concept of Yoda. Yeah, little green fella, big, huge ears, very wise. Yoda said two things that reminded me of these texts. One is, train yourself to let go of everything you fear to lose. Train yourself to let go of everything you fear to lose. I think that's a very Christian understanding. I think Jesus would be right on board with Yoda for that one. And the other one, this one I'm arguing with Yoda about. Yoda says, do or do not, there is no try. Do or do not, there is no try. This one I have a problem with. It's even inconsistent with the training of the Jedi. Because the Jedi, right? They have to train intensively. And training is all about trying and failing and trying and failing. So Yoda's being a little inconsistent there, but you know what? Yoda's not Jesus. It's okay. But I want you to think about that. He does this dichotomy, this dualism of do or do not, there is no try. And the trying, I think, negates the do or the do not part. Anyway, I think for us to learn to become the people that God is creating us to be, we have to keep trying. We don't get it naturally, right? Our egos are such that I defend me and mine, but that's not who Jesus is asking us to be. Jesus is asking us for our hearts to be open. We have to keep trying at that, which means we are going to fail, and we have to get back up, and we have to keep trying at it again. Learning to let go of our old selves, learning to love our neighbors as ourselves, learning to care for the least of these, learning to proclaim the good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, to offer liberty and captive and release to the prisoners. These are things that we have to try over and over and over again to do, and we're going to fail. Learning to be the body of Christ for the sake of the world means trying and failing. It means a lot of fitting to time, a lot of time of meditating, a lot of time for praying, a lot of time for pondering what we currently do and how that aligns with our gospel values. So there's Yoda. I love Yoda. Now the second one, and this one is a little on the silly side, even sillier than Yoda, so bear with me. But as I think about this trying to live into what Jesus is inviting us to, preparing for the coming of God into our world, an old Christmas program back in the 70s, remember the stop, I think they call it stop animation, stop motion animation, you remember that? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, remember that cute little story, right, of being a misfit? Well, this is the other one that came out a couple of years after that one. This is Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Anybody know that one that I'm talking about? Yay. Three people in the room. This is not good. All right. So there's Kris Kringle. It's the story of how Kris Kringle came to be Santa Claus. So he starts off as a skinny young man, and he's just, you know, full of a lot of joy and that kind of stuff. And he marries Mrs. Claus, but they're not Claus yet. So anyway, in his journey of becoming Santa Claus, he meets up with the Winter Warlock. Okay? Just sort of imagine the Winter Warlock in the stop animation show. He's all in white. He's an old guy, long beard, and he's cranky and cantankerous. I mean, just like really cantankerous. He says, in fact, before Kris Kringle breaks into song, he says, I'm a mean and despicable character, and there is no hope for me to turn from bad to good. And Kris Kringle, as the sort of middle-aged, not even middle-aged, kind of like, you know, Pastor Michael, about that age, I'm thinking. Yeah, I think so. You know, not my young. Still kind of skinny, but, you know, not the robust Santa yet. And so anyway, but he has a great laugh. So the Winter Warlock is saying, I'm a mean and despicable character. There's no hope of me turning from bad to good. And Kris Kringle kind of goes, oh, ha, 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 ha. He's practicing, right? And then he breaks into song. And the song is, put one, I can't sing it all. If y'all, you could like sing it for me, I apologize. It's really bad when I try to use a musical analogy. So bear with me. You put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking out the door. Anybody? Not at all. All right, you got it. You're singing it in your head, right? All right, so that's the image, though. So Kris Kringle is saying, you can do this. He's saying to the Winter Warlock, you can go from bad to good. Your heart can be softened. Your heart can open up, and you can find the joy in life. It is delightful. It's a half an hour little thing. See if you can find it. But whenever you think about, oh, this whole thing is too overwhelming, I'm never going to get this opening my heart and learning to love the world thing because I'm too cantankerous, I want you to think about Kris Kringle and that oh-ho-ho-ho laugh. And then just think, you put one foot in front of the other and soon you'll be walking out the door. You're going to figure this out. That's what Jesus is inviting us to. Just like the spirit of Kris Kringle in that old 1970s stop animation, beautiful story, we are invited to that too. And that's how we prepare ourselves for Christmas. That's what Jesus wants from us. That's what God had imagined for us from the beginning of time. Our hearts open, full of love for each other and for God. So happy Advent. Amen.